we get things underway by welcoming in our friend, writer Colin Fleming. Hello, Colin.
What's up, Kimball? You remain going strong, still with us?
We're still here. We're doing what we do a day at a time. You know, no long-term planning here, but we're getting by as best we can. Tom Brady.
That blue oyster cult. I'm sure you're rocking out to that every night.
Oh, yes.
Good advice.
Yeah, don't fear the Reaper. Look him square in the eye. Tom Brady's not coming back to New England, Colin.
Yeah, I was a little bit wrong there. He was coming back. But you know what? When one person leaves, that just provides an opportunity for another era of dominance to commence. And I don't know. It's strange. I almost wonder if he's going to retire. Of course, I'm going to be wrong. He's going to sign with Tampa Bay. But isn't that weird? Tampa Bay, probably, in all likelihood.
Yeah.
Not see that Manning to the Broncos made sense. They were a power franchise. But Brady going to – I mean, the Buccaneers aren't even the best Buccaneers in North American sports, right? It's not like the other Buccaneers, the Pirates, are any good.
No, I just there wasn't much of a market for a 43-year-old quarterback, strangely enough.
Well, people were raining down blows on the Patriots collective head, but I kind of understand where each side was coming from. The thing I like about it from Brady's perspective is, and maybe this is something that I undersold him on, was that he must really believe that he can just sling it and play at an elite superstar type of I'm going to throw for 4,700 yards type of level. To have that much faith in yourself, I don't think you have that much faith in yourself if you're just like going to go out and fail. I think you probably know something. And for the Patriots, well, at a certain point, what are you supposed to do? If you wanted to sign him, you could sign him, but it couldn't have been. People are saying that he had this coming to him. He deserved the $30 million. Well, would you have enjoyed him getting the $30 million to watch them go 7-9 because they didn't have enough people to surround him with who had high levels of talent? So I don't know. Just happened. Did not see it coming, though. And Tampa Bay is just kind of this, I don't think you can even offend anyone with this. It's kind of this backwater franchise, right? So it was not what I anticipated. Oh, it's not Tampa Bay, definitely, yet. But maybe the Chargers. But even still, that's kind of like, I don't know, not really one of the big market West Coast teams.
Yeah.
Strange. Odd.
And yet I think it's probably the best thing for both sides.
It is. And I think people really need to draw a distinction here. And I wrote an op-ed about this today that I'm trying to sell after I finished writing this short story. You can want Brady to lose wherever he goes, because I heard people saying that, well, if he goes to the Raiders, everyone's going to wear a number 12 Raiders jersey in New England. It's like, no, they're not. They're going to move on with rapidity. And you want the team he's going to lose, but you still have this opportunity to watch someone who is the best ever. It's only sport. Not like writing Beethoven symphonies, but they're the best ever at their craft. And you get to see that still play out in real time. So I think you want to embrace both halves of the divide, so to speak, while hoping, of course, that the Patriots gloriously beat the bag out of everyone else. The perfect season. It can still be done. I'm still a believer.
We're talking with Colin Fleming this afternoon on Downtown. Let's talk about something you posted on your blog over the weekend, the Many Moments More blog at ColinFlemingLit.com, and that is Colin's coronavirus tips.
Yes, I would say that strictly speaking, I am a violator of protocol at the moment, but that comes with the disclaimer that, as listeners know, I have no life. I have no friends. So it's not like I'm actually around people, but I do my normal thing of I've had to replace climbing the monument because they've closed the obelisk with doing runs in the morning. And yesterday I climbed the stairs at Government Center like 30 times, which felt pretty fruitless. But I would say to people, they're always whinging about how much time they don't have, which I believe is about the biggest fallacy out there. Because if I'm not busy, have a guess at that thing that you're really not. And I don't really tout how busy I am. And yet, if you look at the blog, or you look at what I'm doing, what I'm publishing, or how much I'm writing, you'd say, my goodness, is he 50 people? Is he a syndicate? Something like that. But now you have time. Let's say you're at home, you're quarantined. And I see these people like flies to syrup, gathering on social media with more alacrity than usual, even saying, oh, I really need the community. This one woman, she's a writer, and she was saying, I've been kicked off Twitter. And I'm asking you people to petition Twitter so I can rejoin the Twitter cavalcade because I need community right now. It's like you are supposedly self-billing. As a writer, go create something. Go do something. Add some value to the world rather than posting inanities on social media. That's not even community anyway. And then now that you have the time, think of the things you can do. All of those Orson Welles radio broadcasts for free. All of those Beethoven string quartets for free. All of the Beatles bootlegs you want to download and listen to, all for free. All of the books for free. All of the museums whose sites you can visit, MFA, Cape Ann Museum, MoMA, whatever it might be. And you can look at their vast holdings. Not the same as going there, of course. But you can look at them online. All of this you can do. Build a fort with your kids. Have conversations with your family. Talk about, I don't know, let's have a story writing contest amongst the family crew. Let's all do drawings. Let's tell ghost stories. Let's listen to scary radio broadcasts in the dark. All of these opportunities for growth, including the growth of saying, huh, I'm kind of scared that I could be knocked out of this world by Friday, which is irrational if you're a healthy person to begin with. But maybe I should tend to that, I don't know, that morbid obesity I have going because my heart's more apt to kill me than this. And yet it's just, what should I watch on Netflix?
Yeah, oh, there's a lot of that. And you're absolutely right about social media. And I've even been guilty of that in the last few days. I've spent more time on Facebook, I think, in these 3 days than I have in the last year. That'll come to an end because I'm reminded yet again what a depressing place that is to be, all social media. But Facebook, to me, is the absolute worst.
It funnels the mental health right out of your brain.
Yeah.
Like, I have to follow it in the sense that I'm in a war against an industry that's trying to end me as I'm trying to, if not end it, at least not have it put another stone in my pathway, which it seems intent on doing all the time. So I get a lot of information from Facebook where Dullards just put up, oh, I was able to get into the Atlantic because I traded this paper. It's like, okay, thanks. That's ripe for the blog. That's perfect. Appreciate that. It's like I knew it wasn't your work, and there you are just extolling the actual reasons. And so I look at it for that, but man, it is just people, it's like if you're out there and you're 35 and you're like in good shape, or you're 55 and you're in good shape, you don't smoke, you don't have these underlying conditions, don't hang around large groups of people, obviously, but stop whining about how your life is going to come to an end before the week is over. The people you need to be concerned about are people who are susceptible, whether it's the homeless, whether it's elderly people. Emma was texting me today. Her grandfather has all kinds of problems. He was back at the hospital today. He's like 80 years old. People like that. Not like you personally. You don't need to be bunkered down under your desk in a fort with the Reaper knocking on the door and then thinking, oh, he's probably not home. I'll just move on to the next door. It's like I don't understand how people can be. It's been illuminating to me because I've dealt with nothing but the most extraneous, extenuating forms of adversity for a long time now, the best part of a decade. And I'm thinking these people wouldn't last 2 hours in my world where I'm getting curb stomped throughout the day. I'm producing work that's better than anyone else is producing. I'm producing more of it all the time. Life is getting worse. I'm completely alone. I live in a horrible death trap of an apartment with a house full of stuff in it. And I just keep going. And I get up and I run and I write and I create and then I pay the price for that. But it's like, really, you just need to go and live your life. I was out yesterday and I walked 5 miles. You know who was out? Older people who were in good shape, who had been through things in life. And yeah, they were out, not in groups, but like a married couple I saw, for instance, when I was sitting in the public garden. And they were not going to be deterred from living their lives. They weren't going to put themselves in harm's risk, but if they wanted to take a brisk constitutional walk, they were going to do that. And it's like, there's a line in one of my books, live your life like a thrown knife. And I think there's merit in that. It doesn't mean live your life like a moron and put others or yourself in jeopardy, but come out from under the desk. Live. Don't just exist.
Well, and take advantages. And we were talking about it with Eric Meehan last hour, and he talked about this being an opportunity to be home and teach his kids about cooking, teach them about music, and introduce them to the music that he loves. And hopefully people will finally, when they, I think there is an adjustment, but the good people, the smart people out there will take advantage of this and put it to some sort of good use, I hope.
It's a twofold opportunity. It's an opportunity to prolong your own life, ironically, because if you are this worried about something happening to you right now, maybe drink less, maybe give up smoking, because those are the things that are far more statistically likely to nab you in the end.
Right.
And it's also an opportunity for growth. And growth can be something that is just, it's an hour out of your life. Hell, you could watch three Buster Keaton shorts. Okay, let's not just put it all in Buster Keaton. You can watch a Soviet animated film from the 1930s. You can watch a Stan Brakhage film, and you can watch a Buster Keaton short. And you can do all of this in like 41 minutes. And think of like what that adds to your life. And it's so simple. You can hop on Baseball Reference if you really like sports and you're jonesing for sports right now. And you can learn, my goodness, Ty Cobb and Jimmy Fox were teammates for 2 years. Seems very strange. You wouldn't expect that, right? Like, there's no way that these guys could have been teammates. But yet, there they were at the end of Ty Cobb's career. I'm just giving, like, random examples. But there are so many things you can do. And with the internet, which everyone uses, the computer is this boob box to devolve further, it's a portal into so many worlds of learning for lazy people for free. For people like me, it's like just type it into the magic Google box, whatever you want to. One of the examples I gave in the blog is the Beatles BBC Sessions. Now, it's my all-time favorite album. It's like 13 discs of recordings, and only a couple discs of this have ever come out. So you're really getting just a piecemeal idea of how these guys were overhauling the history of popular music in largely 1963 at the BBC recording studios. You can go listen to it all. You can go download it. I'm not even good at technology, and I know how to do it. So if I can do it, you can certainly do it, and you'll love it if you love that kind of thing, or whatever. Just go to Netflix all the time.
And if you want to dance with the devil, too, you could check out some plague pandemic-related art.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. Now, I would say that one of the things that it's funny, everyone's like, now it's St. Patrick's Day as we do this segment, and you just think here, like Boston, St. Patrick's Day is like so sloppy normally. It's like a lesser, lower rent New Year's Eve, in, like in Southie.
Amateur. Right? It's amateur hour, right?
Yeah, instead of happening, like, because I always think of like New Year's Eve in classic Hollywood films, like The Thin Man. It's like, it's classy, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But St. Patrick's Day is like vomiting at midday on the streets of Southie with like this blighted architecture. Like, it's not a very roseate portrait of like a holiday. And you hear all these like kind of these just cheesy clubs with like, we're going to take this and in your eye, Reaper, and that kind of thing. But there was a time, like in 1350, when there were these listening parties. It was actually really important. When people just thought they were going to die of the Black Death, and they said, let's have like a jam session, because all of our music comes from the church. And it seems that since we're all on our way out, probability, or at least half of us, why don't we incorporate some secular music into what we're doing? Hey, you over there, you have a good poem. Why don't I set that to music? And it sounds like a simple thing, but this was like this huge musical revolution, where before that, music that you heard and music that was composed was largely for church services. It wasn't something that you popped into your earbuds as you ran at the gym or you did the 14th century version of that. So it was actually hugely influential that these people thought they were going to die, like actually within their particular weeks, turned up their noses at this idea of being quarantined, and they unleashed the musical revolution, which you wouldn't expect.
Well, there are opportunities out there. If you make the right choice, well, like so much in life, if you make the right choice, this can be, as you say, a chance to grow. Hopefully people will tilt in that direction. If they need inspiration, I suggest heading to ColinFlemingLit.com for much more information. Colin, we appreciate it as always, my friend, and we look forward to getting more sage advice for you and from you next week.
Stay alive, Kimball.